The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, Chapter Number 21, Text Number 22, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasatkikari, recorded on April 6th, 2011, in Vrindavan, India.
So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, Chapter 21, Text Number 22. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Rishi Uvacha. Iti Avyalikam Pranuta Abjanava Tam Abhashe Vajasa Amritena Suparna Paksha Upari Rochamana Rema Smita Udvikshana Vibramat Bhru Rishir Uvacha Yajyavyalikam Pranitob Janabas Tamava Vashe Vacha Samratena Suparna Paksho Pari Rochamana Prema Smedod Vikshana Vibramad Bru Rishir Uvacha Yityavyalikam Pranitob Janabas Tamhavabhase Vacha Samritena Suparna Baksho Pari Rochamana Pema Smidod Vikshana Vibramad Bru The great sage Maitreya said, Iti. Yeah. Iti. Thus. Avyalikam. Sincerely. Pranuta. Having been praised. Abjanaba, Lord Vishnu, Tam Tukardama Muni, Abhyabhashe, replied, Vachasa, with words, Amritena, as sweet as nectar. Suparna of Garuda. Paksha, the shoulders. Upari, upon.
Upar.
Rochamana, shining, prema, of affection, smita, with a smile, udvikshana, looking, vibramat, gracefully moving, Bru, eyebrows. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Maitreya resumed, Sincerely extolled in these words, Lord Vishnu, shining very beautifully on the shoulders of Garuda, replied with words as sweet as nectar. His eyebrows moved gracefully as he looked at the sage with a smile full of affection purport. The word Vachasamritena is very significant. Whenever the Lord speaks, he speaks from the transcendental world. He does not speak from the material world. Since he is transcendental, his speech is also transcendental, as is his activity. Everything in relation to him is transcendental. The word amrita refers to one who does not meet with death. The words and activities of the Lord are deathless, therefore they are not manufactured of this material world. The sound of this material world and out of the spiritual world are completely different. The sound of the spiritual world is nectarian and eternal, whereas the sound of the material world is hackneyed and subject to end. The sound of the holy name, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, everlastingly increases the enthusiasm of the chanter. If one repeats monotonous material words, he will feel exhausted. But if he chants Hare Krishna 24 hours a day, he will never feel exhausted. Rather, he will feel encouraged to continue chanting more and more. When the Lord replied to the sage Kardama, the word Vachasamritena is specifically mentioned. Since he spoke from the transcendental world, he replied in transcendental words, and when he spoke, his eyebrows moved with great affection. When a devotee praises the glories of the Lord is very satisfied and he bestows his transcendental benediction upon the devotee without reservation. Because he is always causelessly merciful toward his devotee. Shri Guru Shri Jata Bada Kamala Shri Guru Vaishnava Shri Rupa Sagrajata Sagana Raghunatanvita Damsajiva Sadaitam Zavadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakandritamscha So, Srila Prabhupada has specifically noted in his purport twice this word Vachasamritena.
प्रभुपाद जी ने अपने तात्पर्य में दो बार उस शब्द पे महत्व दिया है, वचसा देते हैं।
Words full of nectar. So this is very significant that Prabhupada has emphasized Vachasamritena. Words full of Amrit. This word Amrit is very interesting word also. We translate it as nectar.
Amrit.
But what literally is it saying? Amrit, no death.
Amrit ka matlab mrityu nahi.
So, in this material world, they take as nectar so many things which are not amrit.
To is sansar mein bahut se log cheezon ko amrit mante hain lekin wo amrit vastav mein nahi.
They take sex life as nectar. But sex life is not amrit, it is mrit. They take intoxication as amrit, but it is mrit. So if you want the real nectar, then you must come to the transcendental platform as described in this verse in purport. Words full of nectar. Words oozing with nectar. This is the nature of transcendental sound vibration. Even one word of Shabda Brahma has so much nectar in it, it can fill up the whole universe. This is described by Rupa Goswami. What is that slok? He says, Tunde Tandavali Vitim Vitanute Tundavali Lamdeye Karna Karoda Kadamani Gatayate Kunarvyude Braspiham Chaita Prangana Sangani Vijayate Sravendriyanam Kritim No Jane Janita Kriyadvir Amritai Krishne Divarnadvai. He is saying, I do not know how much nectar these two syllables Krishna have produced. Because when I utter this Krishna, it dances in my mouth. And when it is dancing in the mouth, it is oozing so much nectar. Oceans of unlimited nectar are oozing from Krishna. So what my one little mouth can drink. Therefore I want millions of mouths. And when those vibrations enter Krishna into the holes of my ears, there's unlimited oceans of nectar. So what my two little ears can taste. Therefore I must have billions and trillions of ears. So I can at least get a little bit more of that nectar. And when those holy vibrations, Krishna, dance within the courtyard of my heart, my mind is completely conquered. And I am stunned in wonder. See how easy it is for the devotees? For the yogi, it is difficult. This is why it's described in Bhagavad Gita for a yogi. Yato yato nishchalati manas chanchalam astaram tatastatan niyam nyaitad anyan jivavushang niyat. My dear yogi, you see, from wherever your mind wanders due to its flickering and unsteady nature, you must certainly withdraw it and bring it back under the control of the self. Does Rupa Goswami have that problem? That his mind keeps running away, he has to keep bringing it back? No, his mind is completely conquered. Completely, his mind is completely conquered. Because Krishna's name is so attractive. The yogi is trying to mechanically fix his mind fixed on one point. Just like back in 1968, when I was a young spiritual seeker, I was taking the lessons of one yogi. And he instructed me to light a candle in a dark room. And to sit and stare at that candle. This was the meditation, you see. Did I get any amrit from that candle? Nahi. But when I finally found the bona fide spiritual master, His Divine Grace, Om Vishnu Pad Paramahamsa Pariva Jakacharja Asta Tarajadashi Srimad Esi Bhakti Vedanta Sri Dandi Goswami Maharaj Ramabad, then I found unlimited oceans of nectar. Actually, there's only one thing a bhakta has to do, you know that. He has nothing to do except swim in the nectar 24 hours a day. Being a bhakta means you swim 24 hours a day in the nectar. That's what bhakta means. If I'm not tasting the nectar, what does it mean? That means I am a bhakta. I am not bhakta. So if you want to become swimming in that nectar 24/7, you simply become bhakta. So how do you become bhakta? You say, okay, Krishna, now I'm your bhakta. What will Krishna say? Get out. Get out, upstart. Ye me bhakta jana parata, na me bhakta stite janaha, mad bhakchanam che ye bhaktas, te me bhakta matamata. If you're my devotee, you're not my devotee, get out. But if you're the devotee of my devotee, then you are my real bhakta. This instruction is given by Lord Krishna to Arjuna in the Adipurana. So if you want to be the bhakta of Krishna, it is not difficult. You simply find a bhakta and you become his bhakta, that's all. You simply take guru, that's all. The bhakta, you take bhakta as your guru, your spiritual master. In this way, when you become the devotee of the devotee, then Krishna says, all right, now you're my devotee, I accept, you see. So to become Krishna conscious, to taste that unlimited ocean of nectar every minute, It's a very easy thing. Simply have to become the devotee of the devotee. This is confirmed by Narottam Das Thakur. In his nice bhajan, Namasankirtan, he explains very nicely. Anande Bolohadi Bhajavrindavan Shri Guru Vaishnava Pade Manjayaman. Ecstatically chant Hare Krishna. Worship the holy Vrindavan Dham and always meditate on the lotus feet of Guru and Vaishnavas. So if you want to taste the nectar 24/7, you simply have to worship the lotus feet of Guru and Vaishnava. But if you are proud, thinking, I don't bow down to anybody except the deities, you were called Kanishta Adhikari. I remember we had one classic example of a Kanishta Adhikari in our Houston temple many years ago. He was a Sindhi businessman. He had a jewelry shop. And he would only come to the temple once a week. He would not come for any lectures or any program. He would come every Monday morning when he meant to open his shop up. He would come for that darshan on Monday morning, you see, to get the blessings for a profitable week. If you tried to speak with him to make some relationship with him, he didn't want to talk to you. He only wanted to have a relationship with the deities, not with even one devotee. So that is classic Kanishta Adhikari. So we should not be Kanishtas. We should learn how to have loving relationships with devotees. Because I'll let you in on a secret. You can only love Krishna to the extent that you love Krishna's devotees. If you don't love Krishna's devotees, you can't love Krishna. And if you do love Krishna's devotees, then your love of Krishna will automatically follow. So we have a very good facility here. We have a big society. Krishna Consciousness Society. There are so many devotees here. We have such facility for so many relationships with devotees. Day in and day out, we're getting to associate with devotees. So try to always be in the mood of loving service with every single devotee. And then you will have Krishna Bhakti within the palm of your hand. So we simply have to take to this process with full enthusiasm, with great determination, and with patience. And then in due course of time, the great treasure of Krishna Prema will be ours. Krishna will reveal himself to us. We'll be able to re-enter our eternal relationship with the Lord in His transcendental leela. All we have to do is take it one step at a time. And what you should do at each step? What does Rupa Goswami say? Yena tena pakarena mana krishnena vesayet sarva vidina seha shur etayor evakinkara. One should fix his mind on Krishna by any means. All the rules and prohibitions of the scriptures are the servant of this principle. Servants of this principle. So whatever you're doing, just see that you're using this moment to fix your mind on Krishna. This is the goal of everything that we do. What is the name of our society? The International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Krishna Bhakti Rasa Bhavita. That is our Krishna Consciousness movement. Always try to be absorbed in the mellow of loving service to Krishna 24 hours a day. If you have any other agenda besides Krishna Bhakti, we recommend you throw it in the garbage right now. Root it out of your heart. Why? Because it's simply causing you misery. It's simply causing you anxiety. Any other desire within your heart besides Krishna Bhakti, immediately throw it away. This is Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada said, nothing to purchase except for Krishna. So now I can ask if there's any questions.
It's not experienceable. Mm-hmm. So what should be done? Mm-hmm.
So, how do we turn the theoretical concept of that ocean of nectar into practical reality? The first thing is we have to realize, why am I not tasting the nectar? Actually, many times I'm asked by people, they say, well, when I chant Hare Krishna, I'm not tasting the nectar. I tell them, here's your problem, Prabhu. You're trying to taste the nectar. You're interested in taking nectar. You should be giving nectar to Krishna. Don't try to take Krishna as your entertainer. That Krishna, now you have to give me pleasure. You take the position that Krishna, I can suffer forever in hell, that's all right, but simply let me always give you pleasure. So as soon as you take this mood of trying to give pleasure to Krishna instead of trying to take pleasure from Krishna, guess what will be the result? You will then enjoy on an equal level with God. If you always think that my every thought, my every word, my every deed, in all times, all places, and all circumstances must be pleasing to Krishna, then you're going to relish like anything. When you chant Hare Krishna, you say, what this little one mouth can do and these two little ears can do. There's unlimited nectar. Sometimes people say, well, Sankarshan Prabhu, I don't understand this example, Rupa Goswami. I don't understand what he's saying. But I will explain it very graphically. It's like the devotees, they relish the sweet gulab jamun. And let's say Bhakta Amit had an incredible day on Sankirtan. He did 10,000 Bhagavad Gitas, you see. So we want to reward Bhakta Amit. And after he gets home from Sankirtan, we say, Bhakta Amit, you broke a new record, 10,000 Bhagavad Gitas. And now we want to give you a wonderful gift to show our appreciation. Kindly step into this warehouse, Bhakta Amit. And here it is, all for you, Bhakta Amit. 10 million gulab jamun. We'll give you the whole evening to enjoy your 10 million gulab jamun before you go out on Sankirtan tomorrow. So Bhakti Amit said, well, I really appreciate the gesture, but I think I can only handle about 10 if I really push myself. And what about the other 9,999,990 gulab jamuns? What will I do with those? But if by mystic power you can give me 10 million mouths and 10 million bellies, then yes, I can enjoy all those gulab jamuns. So in this way, Rupa Goswami, he's saying, well, this one little mouth is two little ears. There's so much nectar. I need to have 10 million. I need to have 10 millions of mouths and billions of ears. Then I can get the nectar.
उसी प्रकार स्वामी कहते हैं कि इतना अमृत है एक कान एक मुंह और दो कान से कितना आनंद ले सकता
है. So if you will just think of giving pleasure to Krishna. Just like a mother serves her child, she's not thinking of her happiness. She simply wants to see that her child is in a happy mood. That's all. She does all austerities just to see that her child is happy. So if you will relate with Krishna like that, somehow I must make Krishna happy. I don't care about my happiness. Bali Maharaj was pushed into hell. And he was happy. So even if you're pushed into hell, Prabhu, if you can please Krishna, that should be your only concern. So in this way, you will capture Krishna and you relish the sweetest nectar
24/7.
So any other question? Everyone satisfied now?
How to cultivate loving relationships with devotees?
How can
we cultivate loving relationships with devotees?
Yes. How do we cultivate loving relationships with devotees? This is given by Rupa Goswami in his Upadeshamrita. Give gifts to the devotees. That could be a tangible gift like a bead bag or some mahaprasadam. Or can be rendering some service to a devotee. You give gifts to Vaishnavas and you accept gifts from Vaishnavas. Distribute prasad to the Vaishnavas. Accept the prasad when the Vaishnavas distribute it to you. Reveal your heart to the Vaishnavas. And then open your heart when they want to reveal their heart to you. These are the six ways of loving exchange given by Rupa Goswami. If you will practice these six items with all of the devotees, then you'll have very nice relationships. Anything else? I recognized her. I recognized you. What's your question?
Yes. Within outside ISKCON, there are devotees who do all the loving service to Krishna, but they don't follow the process of spiritual master. So will they still attain Krishna?
There are people who do service but don't want to take a spiritual master?
Yeah.
The question is, many people who are doing Krishna service,
well, Srila Prabhupada explains in the Nectar of Devotion that unless you've actually been initiated by a bona fide spiritual master, Krishna does not accept your service. Now this doesn't mean that the person who's in the process of getting ready for initiation, that his service is not being accepted. No, it doesn't mean that. If someone rejects the principle that I don't accept that the principle of Guru is a valid principle, I will just serve Krishna directly. And Krishna says that person is not accepted by me. Name bhaktashtate janaha. So if I want to be accepted by Krishna, then I must become the devotee of Krishna's devotee. I must have a guru. Otherwise Krishna will never accept my service. That's a bit. Question?
In practical terms, what is the meaning of being servant of the servant?
Being servant of the servant means that I want to please that person who I'm serving. It doesn't mean like, all right, I'll give you some prasadam. Here, take your prasadam. I want to please you. That mood of loving, I want to please you. That's what it means to me. So I want to please you. I'm always thinking how I can please you. That mood, you see. I want you to be happy. I want to please you.
The question was, what is the meaning of the dasu? So, the question was, that we always want to be
Anything else? Yes.
When I'm chanting, how do I have this mood of what pleases the holy name when I'm chanting? In practical terms,
how do I get the mood of what?
That for the pleasure of holy names, for the pleasure of Krishna, how do we practically chant?
Yeah. Well, Prabhupada again and again taught us to chant like the child crying for the mother. In other words, you're calling out to Krishna, begging him to rescue you from your material consciousness. You're drowning in the ocean of birth and death, and you're calling like a helpless person, Krishna, please save me. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. That gives Krishna the greatest pleasure when you crawl like a child crying for mother, you see. Please save me. Please save me. There's a nice example. Prabhupada, it's a story actually that was told by one gentleman, a pujari at a temple in Santipur. There is a house there of a Daitacharya. And around the year 1980, one pujari, he came to our Mayapur temple and he told the devotees one story. That many, many years ago, there was one devotee, he used to come. He was wearing the white cloth. He was vanaprastha. He was come and spent hours and hours chanting with great intensity. And then, again, he came back as a sannyasi. He was chanting with great intensity for hours, chanting. And he talked to this gentleman. He said, he made a relationship with this devotee. And he said, my spiritual master has given me an impossible task. He has told me that I must spread this Krishna consciousness movement to the English speaking world. I don't know how I could possibly do this. I'm simply coming here and crying for the mercy of Daitacharya. Crying for the mercy, begging for the mercy. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So in this way, then he didn't hear from that sannyasi from India. He didn't hear from him. He didn't see him anymore in Shantipur. And then many years later, in 1980, someone gave him a Back to Godhead magazine about our Mayapur project, and he said, he did it, that Swami did it. He was able to spread Krishna consciousness to the English-speaking world. He was so excited he came running to Mayapur. He didn't know what had happened, that Prabhupada had actually done it. Why was Prabhupada powerful to do that? Because he was calling like a helpless child, begging for the mercy. Begging for the mercy. You see. So that's how we should chant. It's like Prabhupada was chanting in Shantipur. We beg for the mercy. My dear Lord, I'm a useless, nonsense, rascal, puffed up, trash. Please save me. Please save me. Please save me. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna. Hare Hare. Hare Rama. Hare Rama. Rama Rama. Hare. In this way, chant Hare Krishna. And Krishna will reciprocate. He'll save you. He'll bless you with prema. So I think we'll stop here. One more question. Oh, in translation. Yeah.
उसी प्रकार से हमें उस भावना से भगवान को पुकारना चाहिए कि भगवान मेरी रक्षा करो, मैं बहुत दुष्ट हूँ, नीच हूँ, मेरा उद्धार करो, मुझे कृपा दीजिए। इस तरह में भिक्षु की तरह में जप करना चाहिए। तो प्रभु जी ने एक बहुत सुंदर कहानी कहा कि एक बार शांतिपुर के मंदिर में एक पुजारी थे, वो मायापुर में ये कहानी बताए। उन्होंने कहा कि कई वर्ष पहले वो एक भक्त को देखे जो सफेद कपड़े में आए थे और वो शांतिपुर में अद्वैत आचार्य के घर में बहुत तीव्रता के साथ जप कर रहे थे हरे कृष्णा मंत्र का कई घंटों तक, और कई बार ऐसे देखे। और फिर कई दिन के बाद फिर वही भक्त फिर गेरवे बस्ते में आ गए, उन्होंने संन्यास ले लिया और फिर आके वो बहुत इस तरह से भावपूर्वक जप कर रहे थे। तो इन पुजारी ने उनके साथ संबंध बनाया, उनसे कुछ बातें की। तो उन्होंने कहा कि आप क्यों इस तरह से जप कर रहे हैं। तो उन्होंने उत्तर दिया कि मेरे जो गुरु महाराज ने मुझे बहुत असंभव कार्य दिया है कि पूरे विश्व में इस महामंत्र का प्रचार करने के लिए, मैं कैसे करता हूँ, इसलिए मैं अद्वैताचार्य से और भगवान से इस कृपा की भिक्षा कर रहा हूँ। तो फिर उनके कई वर्ष तक फिर वो उनसे कभी मिले नहीं उस सन्यासी से। और 1980 में वो जो बैक टू गॉडहेड जो पत्रिका है उसको देखे और उसमें उनका चित्र देखे और बहुत प्रेम में आके वो दौड़ के मायापुर मंदिर में आए और कहे कि हाँ इस व्यक्ति ने वो सफल कर दिया। तो क्यों प्रभुपाद जी का सफलता का यही रहस्य है कि वो कृपा की भिक्षा करते थे। तो हमें भी इस प्रकार से चिंता
है। Any other questions? Yeah.
Sometimes people give the argument that unless you do these four prohibited things like intoxication or illicit sex or gambling, you cannot understand what nectar is there. So when we try to...
unless you're dumb, you can't understand...
the nectar that is there in these activities.
You can't understand the nectar that's in them?
Yeah. So when he tries to preach to some people, so they give this reply that he tries to say there is no nectar, but they reply... that you have to experience this and
you just don't realize what you're missing. That's what they're saying?
Yeah, that you have not experienced, so you can't understand the nectar in this four activities.
Because you are not enjoying them, you don't realize what you're missing. Like that? So what do we say to those people?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we understand that you're enjoying these things. We understand them. But what is the result of that enjoyment?
तो हमें उत्तर देना चाहिए कि हम स्वीकार करते हैं कि आप भोग कर रहे हैं, लेकिन उसका परिणाम क्या है?
You're getting pleasure from sex, you're getting pleasure from intoxication, you're getting pleasure from these activities, but the enjoyment is very short-lived.
तो आपको अवैध संग से या नशा पान से आपको आनंद प्राप्त हो रहा है, लेकिन वो बहुत क्षण, बहुत कम समय के लिए।
You're having sex with some girl, and then she gets pregnant, then you have to have an abortion and take the karma of murdering a baby.
तो अगर आप अवैध संबंध करते हैं किसी स्त्री के साथ और फिर वो बच्चे की हत्या करनी पड़ती है, अबॉर्शन, तो आपको उसका कर्म प्राप्त होता है।
You're getting intoxicated, and then you do some crazy thing, you in your intoxicated state. And you suffer you have to go to the court of law and for criminal activities while you're intoxicated. So there are two types of happiness in this world. Shreya and Preya. That which is immediately enjoyable, that is called Preya. My dear sex monger friend, you are getting Preya enjoyment. But that enjoyment comes with so much suffering. Look at all the people who are trying to enjoy sex life, how miserable they are. That sex pleasure lasts for a few seconds only. And they suffer in so many ways. Unwanted children, abortion, love triangles, murders. It's horrible. Horrible thing. The result of this illicit sex life. Venereal disease. AIDS. So many problems come from this illicit sex pleasure. So those who are actually intelligent, they want that pleasure which is ever increasing, which never goes away. Why take some temporary intense pleasure that lasts for a few seconds only when you can get unlimited pleasure? Brahma saukam tvanantam. My dear sir, do you think sex pleasure is a very enjoyable thing? The pleasure of chanting Hare Krishna, when one is purified, one utterance of Hare Krishna is more pleasurable than millions of sexual intercourse. So you are seeking some pleasure from sex or intoxication, but we are getting millions and billions of times greater pleasure by chanting Hare Krishna. Therefore, Bhagavatam says, Yan maitanadi grihamedi zukam itu cham. Your pleasure, my dear sir, of sex pleasure is 10th class pleasure at best. If you want to remain 10th class, then go ahead, have illicit sex. I'm enjoying first class pleasure and you're enjoying 10th class pleasure. Your sex pleasure is a few seconds only. And my pleasure is 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So whose pleasure is better, my pleasure or your pleasure? In this way you challenge them. Yeah.
Some sages says only that guru can you meet with the God physically who has himself seen. Like the case of Dhruva and Kalha. Both of them were having guru who has pre-assessed with God. Who was having pre-assess with the God. In this Kali Yuga, Prabhupada told, you should have Pramanik Guru, who will ultimately start your path. But everybody wants in this life, I should have the ultimate goal to meet the God. So how this Pramanik Guru or the best Guru can be used?
Yeah, how many are saying?
Saying that example of Guru Maharaj and Prahlad Maharaj, they could see God because their Guru had access to God. Narad Muni was also good. So how do we find such Guru in this Kali Yuga?
Actually, Your premise is incorrect. The premise of your question is incorrect. Just like you have a DHL delivery service here in India, DHL. Yeah. So the DHL delivery man, he comes to your door to give you a cashier's check for 1 million crores of rupees. Will you accept that check? Or you say, I'm sorry, I only accept cashier's checks from millionaires. If you're not a millionaire, I won't take it from you. You understand the point? I'm coming to give you a cashier's check for 1 million crores of rupees. Will you take it? Or will you find out first if I'm a multi-millionaire or not before you take it? Or will you just take it? What is the answer? You will take it, or you'll find out first if your delivery man is a multi-millionaire or not? Really? I'll take it. I don't care if you're a pauper. If you give me a cashier's check for 1 million crores of rupees, I'll take it. One million crores of rupees is 1 million crores of rupees, you see. So one who delivers you the process of how to see God, that process will deliver you. That's a fact. If one delivers you the process of how to see God and you accept that process will deliver you. That process is coming down from the great Mahajanas. Mahajano yena gatasupanta. Anyone who is purely presenting that message of the great Mahajanas, that message has its full potency. That's a thing. So your premise is incorrect, sir. Any other? We'll stop here. We thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.